If you want one individually, you can have one individually. It doesn't have to be just one per couple. Who else needs a book?
Thank you. Can you pass this one there?
Can't have one. She's got one. You can have one. Anyone else need a book? No one? Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Here, you get one too.
Thank you.
Okay, I would say hang on to these, but we can reprint as many of these as we want. But thank Jessica when you see her, because she tore apart. We could only get a few of these, and she tore apart one of them, copied it, and stapled them together. So do thank Jessica when you see her. And we'll be using this book throughout the quarter. We won't go through it chapter by chapter. That's up to you. Go through it, read it all. I think you'll enjoy it. If there's something that you want to know specifically about, I think you'll find a chapter in it here. Like if you want to know about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there's a chapter on that. Okay. The gift of the Holy Spirit, there's a chapter on that. Okay. Anything you have a question about, I think you'll find a chapter about it. Okay. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for the opportunity to study about the Holy Spirit. Bless our understanding. Bless our study. Lord, be with our children this morning and our grandchildren. Bless them and their classes. Be with those, Lord, who have undergone operations lately or are recovering. Especially want to pray for Mickey Heck and for Barbara Girard. And you know the others, Lord. Be with them. Bless their recovery. Be with us, Lord, and as always, and forgive us where we fail you. As we pray in your Son's name, amen. Okay. Let's begin by asking this question. Why should we study the Holy Spirit? Why should we study the Holy Spirit? About the Holy Spirit. That's right. Okay. That's one good reason.
Spirit is God. Part of God. God is Spirit.
Right. Okay. All right. Learn new things. Okay. I'm going to ask one other question. Do you believe in the Spirit-filled life? The Spirit-filled life. Do you believe in that? Okay. All right. Okay. The first reason I have for you is so that we can settle in our own mind what God's Word says about the Holy Spirit. What God's Word says about it. Not what one man says about it, or one particular man, or one particular denomination says. What does God's Word say about it? And that's this book, as you all have a copy of it, that was his dedication. Present what the Bible says about it. Okay? As was Mac Lyon. We're going to talk about this a little bit. We're going to be talk about some of what he said in his little book, Mac Lyon. Okay. All right, let's start by going to page 19 in your book. And I'm going to read that first page and part of the second page. And you can read right along with me. The fact that the Spirit indwells every believer is a confirmed truth of the Word of God. No one denies that God lives in the believer. No one disputes that Jesus dwells in every disciple. When someone states emphatically that the Holy Spirit has entered into the life of every true believer, disciple, some get a little bit edgy. Some get a little uncomfortable. Is it because the Word of God is unclear on this question? Or do some simply fear that by embracing this basic truth, we may open the door to many false teachings that abound in the religious world concerning the Holy Spirit? And you can say to yourself, yep, that's true of me, or it isn't true. But the fact is, many are uncomfortable talking about the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's read on. Are we afraid that the admission of this marvelous truth will usher in tongue speaking, claims of miraculous healings, and the pray fruit of salvation doctrine? In receiving any truth, there is always a risk of using it as a springboard to error. And notice what he says next. This is why we need to be Bible students. Those able to think for ourselves, who claim truth without the baggage of false teaching. Okay. Bible students. Study what the Bible says. Okay. Now he's going to quote from Acts. And I got it up on the screen. In fact, I'm going to read it from the screen. Read what it says on the screen. He quotes Acts 2, beginning with verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You get remission of sins, forgiveness of sins, and you get the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise is to you and your children, to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Okay? Directly out of the Bible. Okay? Now turn the page in your book. Okay? Up there at the top of page 20. And like I say, he quoted from Acts 2. Okay, now notice what he says. Peter instructed them, everybody with me? Peter instructed them to do two things, and they would receive two things. He told them to repent, be baptized, and you will receive remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit is a gift of the Holy Spirit. A gift of $100 is a gift of $100. God said it, we believe it, and that is the end of that. Okay. How do you know you're saved? God tells you in your word. How do you know the Holy Spirit dwells in every believer? We know because God said it in his word. God tells us in his word. Okay. So there should be no question. It's right there in Acts 2:37. Okay. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. when we are baptized. Okay. I'm going to refer to him as Exum, Jack Exum, the writer of this book. He, in another part, he says, what is plainly said what the Bible plainly says is the mainest, meaning rely on that, trust in that, have full faith in that. It plainly says here, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So trust in that, okay? There are other things we're going to see that are plainly said, so believe in it. All right, so that's our first scripture, and remember that one. And now turn back to the beginning of the book, page 7. What does he say there? Don't try to explain it. Okay, let's see what he means by that. One may rightly say it's right to believe that the Holy Spirit dwells in every Christian as long as you don't try to explain it. Is there ever present temptation for a preacher, a lecturer, or an author to try to unravel the deep mysteries of life? Take, for instance, a grain of wheat or a kernel of corn. Who will step forward with wisdom and understand and explain the life within? Plant the kernel, and it will yield 2,147 kernels, average yield, just like it, or just like that original kernel. We know that it works. We are the evidence of its growth and development. We know it requires time, moisture, good soil, sunlight. We just cannot explain it. We can define it legally. We can teach it philosophically. We can gladly receive the fruit it bears. Yet no one can explain it. We dissect the kernel, examine it microscopically. We can even produce an identical copy exactly like the natural one. Yet God put life into the natural seed, and no one can explain it. They are so identical, you cannot tell which is the natural seed or the copy. Yet when planted, one grows and the other doesn't. Okay? All right, so we can't explain why a kernel of corn, why it has life, can we? Okay. Same way about this, the Holy Spirit. If we can't explain it. Okay. Okay, now he's going to quote part of John 3. Okay. And, well, we'll just read what he says. I do have it up on the screen, but let's read what he says. Nicodemus said unto him, he said unto Christ, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Here was a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews, a master of Israel, asking for an explanation. Okay, turn the page, and here's what Jesus replies to him. This is Jesus' answer to Nicodemus. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind blows where it listeth, and thou heareth the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it come or whither it goes. So there is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Okay. So what did Jesus compare the Holy Spirit to? The wind, okay.
That way Oklahoma's so spiritual.
Yeah. Oh, you leave it to Devin to come up with something. Okay. But, right, what do we know about the wind? We feel its effect. We know it. We can't see it. You feel the effect of it, but we can't see it.
We suspect it has a beginning, and we theorize that it has an ending, but we don't really know about that. I mean, it dies down at night, except when it doesn't. I can't sleep when it's windy all night, so I remember those nights. And it's really something, it's basically to do with the weather, and we've been studying the weather since we were first here. Similar to your seed, science tells us if it's strong winds west of you, then they'll be here later. But when and how bad, will they be stronger or less? We just don't really understand that.
We don't fully understand the wind, and that's what Jesus was saying to Nicodemus. You don't understand the wind, and you won't fully understand the Spirit. But you must be born again of the wind and of the water and the Spirit. You must be born again of the water and the Spirit. Okay. You can't have one without the other. That's what he was saying too. Okay. So you will hear people try to explain the Holy Spirit, but they really can't explain it like you would like them to. Is that clear to everybody? The Holy Spirit is in us, but how he is in us, no one can explain. Okay. He will have an effect on us, but no one can explain. Yes, Larry?
I think there's a certain amount that we can explain, because I don't think God would give us anything that we didn't know what to do, that he didn't tell us what to do. And, and he couldn't answer that. But I think that there's a lot of things about the Holy Spirit that none of us would really understand. But I think God gives us enough that we understand what God
does. That's a good point. God will give us enough understanding of it if we search his word. Yes. Okay. I agree full-heartedly. Something's kicking off right now. Okay. Yes, Devin.
So, I just think I think that mankind, this man for sure, but I think all of us have a desire to understand a little more, and then our next act is to try to control so that we don't get surprised or anything weird happens. And I know Nicodemus gets picked on a lot, but he's asking honest questions here, right? How can I be born again? What are you talking about?
Uh-huh.
And his question really helps illuminate this for all of us, because the answers you see him get here in John. But I would say this, there are mysteries about serving God. And the Holy Spirit is an easy one for us to say, well, it's mysterious, and so I'm a little nervous. Who hired God to create the... Does anyone have any information about this? When did God start? He didn't start, right? The scripture tells us you're asking the wrong question. God is the beginning. And when will he stop? God is the ending. That's not really understood by me. And maybe some of you have a good handle on from whence God came and all those things. But I do not need to be able to answer those questions in a written essay form in order to serve God and in order to be saved. And so, in my book, the Holy Spirit has some mystery about it. It's not the only mystery about God. And somehow we sort of, I feel like we sometimes brush past all those other questions and then say, but I don't quite, I'm not sure about this Holy Spirit. And then, as the author says, there are people out there who build weird doctrines around the Holy Spirit. And I think they do. I think we let them harm us with all that.
Yes.
Yes. Non-biblical stuff.
Right. Okay.
I think that the biggest problem we have with the world as far as the Holy Spirit is concerned is that they forget all about the rest of us and just focus right on the Holy Spirit. And that's not the thing that we're to do. We're to focus on all of it. And it's just one part of the equation, not the whole thing.
He's, the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity of God.
Yeah. Okay. I believe it's a little easier to think about the Comforter part.
And we are going to get to that, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
That is one of the things we will discuss with the Holy Spirit. And he's got, the author of this book, he has a good chapter on that in here. Okay. All right. Okay, but that's another scripture to keep in mind. What Jesus said about the Holy Spirit right in the very beginning of his ministry. Someone said it right there. Must be born again of the water and the Spirit. Okay? Okay, I think I mentioned Mac Lyon earlier. Everybody, well, most of you probably remember Mac Lyon, the preacher for In Search of the Lord's Way. And back in 1997, he had four lessons, one right after the other, about the Holy Spirit. And I want to read something of what he said. Start out with the book. This is one from his second lesson. It says, I can't think of a biblical subject over which there is more confusion than that of the Holy Spirit. More confusion. I think that's still true today. I think we agree with Mac on that. He goes on to say, I won't be saying God told me or God spoke to me. I'll be quoting God right out of his word, the Bible. Where you can read it for yourself. The Bible is the one and only source of truth for Christians. We have to say amen to that, right? Only source. Okay, now listen to what he says next. For those of you who must have a miracle, the Bible is the most fantastic miracle of all. It's a contradiction to claim to be a Bible-believing Christian while holding to an experience. However ecstatic it was, as authority that overrides biblical authority for what we believe. That's a contradiction. A Christian experience is not the confirmation of truth. Rather, truth is the basis for a true Christian experience. Everybody follow that? Let me read that again. A Christian experience is not the confirmation of truth. Rather, truth is the basis for a true Christian experience. The truth we find in the Bible. Okay. A Holy Spirit experience is not an alternative to sound doctrine. Rather, by sound doctrine, a person is led into a life in the Spirit. That's what Mac Lyon said, and I like that. The truth is found in God's Word. That's what we want to rely on. Someone says they've had an experience. Maybe they did, maybe they not. But I'm going to rely on what the Bible says. Mac Lyon says we should do the same. Okay. All right. We'll be referring to his book from time to time. If any of you are interested in reading the whole thing, I can show you where to go to it online. You can't get a copy of this book anymore, but you can read it online. Okay? Anybody wants to do that, I'll be glad to show you how. And like I said, we'll be referring to it time to time. This is from another source, what I'm going to show you next. This is also, I came up online. It's a study on the Holy Spirit of God. You can get it online, you can read it online, and it's pretty extensive. But it is good, and it was also done by someone out of our brotherhood. Okay, Mark Copeland. Okay, he is a evangelist in Florida, Pensacola, Florida, or not Pensacola, Orlando, Florida. Okay. And he puts out a lot of studies. Okay, but what we're going to look at now came from him. He says the Holy Spirit is a subject of much error. Okay, just as Mac Lyon said, much error is taught about the nature of the Holy Spirit. Some think he is an impersonal force, expressive of God's power. Others think he is really Jesus in another form. None of those things are true. Okay? Many people misunderstand the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We will talk about that, what that means, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you're curious now, you can find it in your book. If you want to know now, you can go ahead and go straight to it in your book. But we will talk about it. We'll spend a whole session talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Many people misunderstand the gift of the Holy Spirit. They misunderstand the spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit. And they misunderstand the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And here's a big one. Many attribute impressions or intuitive feelings to being led by the Spirit. Okay? I think we've all experienced that, right? The Holy Spirit told me to do this. You've heard somebody say that, correct? The Holy Spirit told me to do that. That causes much error. They are ignorant, as he says, they are ignorant of how the Holy Spirit leads us and attribute to the Holy Spirit what is really a human experience. Okay, so that's another reason why we want to study the Holy Spirit, subject of much error. Okay, a third reason to study the Holy Spirit is to learn the who, why, what, and how of the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? Okay, we will talk about that. In fact, that's what we're going to study next Sunday. Who is the Holy Spirit? Okay. Why the Holy Spirit? Why is there such a being as the Holy Spirit? And why is he with us? Okay. What does the Holy Spirit do in the life of a Christian? That's a big thing. That's a big thing, and we will spend quite a bit of time talking about that. And then how does the Holy Spirit operate in the life of a Christian? Okay, so we will learn the who, why, and what, and how of the Holy Spirit. And again, we will refer to the Bible as our main source. I know the clearest, the mainest thing, and what is said clearly is the mainest thing. Okay. Okay, another thing that I'm going to refer to from time to time, and you've probably seen this fellow on television. I have one of his books, Charles Stanley, In Touch Ministries. Some of you may have seen him, some of you may have not. Okay. He is not a member of the Brotherhood, not a member of the Church of Christ. But yet, I have found, and I've read his books, read his publications, he always refers to the Bible. Okay. I've not been able to dispute anything he says. Okay. So, I am not saying that he, for certain, that everything he says is true, but I have not found anything to question.
He uses a lot of the Bible.
He does. He refers to a lot in the Bible. And in his book here, he refers to his Bible. His month.
He adds a little to it also.
Okay. I can't say yes he does or yes he does. But whenever he states something, he'll quote a scripture with it. Okay, yeah.
I have several of his books. I used to listen to his deal on the radio every day. But I just couldn't help. I sent him an email on the issue of baptism and said, you do such a great job of teaching and things I understand that have helped. But I said, how can you not acknowledge that you do need to be baptized to be saved? And
Okay. All right. So that's probably. Okay. Yeah. And I like what he says about the Holy Spirit, and that's why the only reason I'm presenting it. Okay. So here's what he says, and we'll either prove it with the scripture or not. He says we need the Holy Spirit to guide us. We never spiritually outgrow our dependency upon the Holy Spirit. Number two is the Holy Spirit who guides us into the right path by convicting us of sin. And that's actually directly said from one of Jesus' quotes, one of the things Jesus said. It's the Holy Spirit who reminds us of the truth of God's Word and how to apply God's Word. And as the Holy Spirit works through us to confirm us into the image of Christ. And the Spirit-filled life is a life of faith. Okay? We'll either prove or disprove everything he says right there. Okay? All right. Enough about him. Okay. Well, we're going to look at the rest of today. And we still got about 10 more minutes, is from Mark Copeland's study. Okay. And he's got a chapter on why study the Holy Spirit. And what he points out is the prominence of the Spirit in the Bible. What does he mean by prominence? Yeah, Okay. Stands out. Okay. Holy Spirit is there. Lots of times, particularly in the New Testament and in the book of Acts. So we should study about him because of the number of times it talks about him in the Bible. Okay? Okay? Notice what he says about the Old Testament. He promised in the Old Testament. The Old Testament refers to the Holy Spirit 88 times. 23 books in the Old Testament referred to the Holy Spirit. And now, although the actual expression Holy Spirit is used only 3 times, other expressions referred to the Spirit are used, such as the Spirit of God or the Spirit of Truth. Okay, his prominence in the New Testament. The New Testament refers to the Holy Spirit some 264 times. 60 references in the gospel. Okay. in your book, chapter 2, he's got a good portion of all the ones about the Holy Spirit, in the New Testament, about the Holy Spirit, okay? How the Holy Spirit is described, so you can look at that. Acts has 57 references. I'm not fond of what he says next, but he says, and some call it the Acts of the Holy Spirit. I've never heard it called that, but because it is the Acts of the Apostles. But nonetheless, 57 times in the book of Acts, it refers to the Holy Spirit. The epistles referred to the Holy Spirit 132 times. Okay. Paul's letters, every one of them except for Philemon, referred to the Holy Spirit. Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, there's all references to the Holy Spirit. Okay. Only three epistles make no mention of the Spirit. Okay, the promise of the Spirit in the life of Christ. Okay, in the birth of Jesus, Jesus was conceived of the Holy Spirit in the womb of Mary. Various individuals were filled with the Spirit to make pronouncements about his birth. Elizabeth, mother of John the Baptist. Okay, remember she, the Holy Spirit? I just tore this up. Okay. Thank goodness it didn't fall on the floor. Okay. Elizabeth, mother of John the Baptist. Zacharias, father of John the Baptist. Okay. Holy Spirit made him realize that Mary was the mother of Jesus. Simeon, who saw the infant Jesus when presented in the temple. Okay. Holy Spirit helped him realize that. The promise of the Spirit in the life of Christ. Okay. Remember when Jesus was baptized? Who was there? The Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove. Okay. His presence during the temptations in the wilderness. Holy Spirit led Christ into the wilderness. Okay? The power of the Holy Spirit during Christ's ministry. Jesus returned from his temptations in the power of the Spirit, teaching the synagogues. He applied Isaiah's prophecy to himself, which said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And on one occasion it said that Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. Jesus claimed to cast out demons by that power of the Holy Spirit. Okay. Okay, so all those, we can see how prominent the Holy Spirit was. He was there all along. He was there in Jesus Christ's ministry. In our life, in the life of a Christian, and we will talk about several of these, but his involvement in our becoming Christians. For one, we are convicted of sin by the Holy Spirit. And I went ahead and put John 16, 7 through 8 up there. And notice what it says. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. This is Christ saying this. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. The Helper, the Holy Spirit. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. convict the world of sin. Okay. Next on our list, we are born again of the Spirit. Remember, we saw that in John 3. Okay. We are regenerated, renewed of the Holy Spirit. Titus 3, 4 through 6. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Okay? We can see scriptures telling his involvement in our life. And we'll go on. We live in the Spirit. Presence of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:25 tells us. We are to walk in the Spirit. We must set our minds on things of the Spirit. It is by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body. Only when led by the Spirit are we truly the sons of God. The Holy Spirit makes intercession for us in our prayers. God strengthens us with might through His Spirit in the inner man. Okay. Now here's a big one here. Another thing that points out how often the Holy Spirit is there. And that's the prominence of the Holy Spirit on truth and error. Okay. He is the source of God's truth. How do we know that? Well, because of what it says in 2 Peter and 1 Peter. Okay. Source of God's truth. The Old Testament scriptures with their prophecies came through the agency of the Holy Spirit. Okay. I'm going to go into the next slide and you'll see that. Notice what it says up on the screen. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Okay. In other words, what is written in the Bible came to those who wrote the Bible from the Holy Spirit. Okay. Peter said that. Okay. Yeah, Russell.
You know, I have to admit I don't know a whole lot about the Holy Spirit in the Bible, you know, and we're going to learn. But it makes sense to me because God the Almighty sent his physical son to help us and sends the Spirit. It just makes sense. It's like a complete picture. You got God in heaven, creator of all life, Son to come and physically help us.
Mm-hmm.
Good children, and the Holy Spirit that comes with us. To me, it's all God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it just pains me to think that I do things to make the Spirit feel bad.
Mm-hmm. Well, we will look at this more, but Jesus did say he would leave a comforter. He would leave the Holy Spirit to help us. So you're right, it makes sense that we have the Holy Spirit. Okay? Okay, before we close, I want to leave you something. Something to think about. God strengthens us through the Holy Spirit. And notice what Paul says here, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. Okay. Now, Paul said that to the Ephesians, but it was part of a prayer that he was praying for the Ephesians, right? So evidently, Paul thought it was important that they be strengthened in the inner man by the Holy Spirit. pray for it. Okay. So I think we need to pray that we will be strengthened in the inner man by the Holy Spirit, just as Paul prayed for it. Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you for your attention. Next week, we will talk about who the Holy Spirit is. Who the Holy Spirit is. It's not specifically stated in your book, but we will get to it. It is in this, okay? He helps us a lot. And so does what Mac Lyons say. Okay? Who is the Holy Spirit? Okay. All right, but go ahead and be reading in your book. I think you will find it very interesting and very useful. Do I have any closing questions? Okay. Thank you.